Environment Committee for February 12, 2008. And first, we're going to open up a work session on House Bill 3612. Beth, can you make sure we have all the amendments in front of us, and then I think we're going to hear some testimony on the latest amended version.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, there are two sets of amendments for 3612 in front of you. The dash 3 is the more comprehensive amendment that Betty Merrill from Energy will walk through for you, and the dash 4 is also in front of you.
Okay, Betty, could you come up, please, and walk us through the dash 3s?
For the record, Betty Merrill from the Oregon Department of Energy. Thank you for having me here today. I'd like to walk through the dash 3 amendments. From the previous bill, this eliminates the requirement for authorized state agencies to prepare a plan by 2010. The bill, the dash 3, maintains the proposed requirement that authorized state agencies reduce their energy use by 20% by 2015. It also adds in calendar year 2000 as the baseline. It requires the Department of Energy to develop rules in consultation with all of the authorized state agencies. It will allow ODOE to establish a list of pre-qualified individuals for energy management services, energy savings performance contracting, and energy analysis. And it also added verbiage to cover leased facilities. We've been working with all the state agencies trying to incorporate comments and concerns. The intent of the bill is to allow the Department of Energy to work with the agencies to establish rules and guidelines for establishing a baseline for energy use so we can say where the agencies are on a year-to-year basis on the 20% reduction target. I think that's the dash 3s.
Okay. And did you want to say something about the dash 4s as well, since those are in front of us?
The dash 4s were submitted this morning, and we will be working. My recommendation is to meet with the dash 3s, and we will work with the groups proposing the dash 4s to clarify the issue of licensed or professional engineers. In the dash 3s, it allows professional engineers or architects not to be qualified to perform energy consumption analysis, but they would need to be qualified to enter into energy savings performance contracting and to perform energy management services, energy audits, and building commissioning.
Okay, and there was some discussion about, I think we're still in discussions about this, my understanding.
We are, that's
okay.
Correct.
So this is something that just came up. It was not something we heard last in our last hearing. Okay. All right. Are there any questions for Betty from the committee member before? I think there was a couple other folks that wanted to make comments on this amendment. Did you have a question, Representative Smith?
I thank you, Madam Chair. Can you share with me what's the definition of an authorized state agency? I apologize. I don't know if that is.
Authorized state agencies include, and I didn't bring my book with me, authorized state agencies would include higher ed, DAS.
There's a list of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a long list.
Follow-up question.
Follow-up.
Thank you. Looking at the dash 3 amendments, under, I'm on page 3, line 13, it talks about a timeline. I don't see what's the consequence if this authorized state agency doesn't meet that timeline.
In the bill, if you follow down to section 6, which is line 22 on page 3, if an agency fails to achieve the 20% reduction, then they're required in 2015 to submit an energy plan.
Okay, thank you. Follow up.
from it?
Thank you, Madam Chair. We had conversations yesterday, and I think you've clarified this for me. My understanding is an agency that is going to be making the necessary improvements will the plan is to have such substantial savings in energy consumption that those dollars will be available to service the debt on the improvements. And we talked about that out in the hall. My question is can you share with this committee, to the best of your knowledge, is there available resources within the Oregon Department of Energy, within your loan programs, to meet the potential capital construction requirements that could come as a result of these authorized state agencies implementing their plans?
Through the chair, Representative Smith. Currently, this State Energy Loan Program, or SELP, finances energy efficiency improvements projects. We have, to date, never turned down a state agency's request. We go in with a limitation for bonding for that program and have never had the case where the agencies came in and requested more money than we had. Generally, in fact, we end up with more limitation than the state agencies utilize. Our mission is always to leverage funding. We do this commonly with OUS in projects where we combine money from donors, some money out of their operations and maintenance budget, utility incentives, and then the loan program.
Thank you. Just a follow-up comment. I really appreciate that. I know my approach may have come across as antagonistic, but all along I've been trying to fight to make sure you had the resources, that the Oregon Department of Energy had the resources it needed to implement what's being brought forward here, and I definitely appreciate you walking through that process with me and creating an assurance with me that those resources will be there. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Other questions for Betty? Okay. Thank you very much. Stick around, there might be a few other questions. And was there anybody else who, before we make a motion, that wanted to comment on the dash threes? Jesse?
Chair Dean Felder, members of the committee, for the record, Mr. Jesse Cornett, here representing Portland State University. I've looked through the dash threes. Sorry, I just got them. Sorry, I'm chiming in late. I did just see the dash threes late this morning. We are concerned. We are a state agency with 49 acres in downtown Portland. With rapidly increasing enrollment, we're facing an issue at the university where we're vacating buildings and we're forced to lease space, either partial parts of other buildings near our campus or whole buildings near our campus on a short-term basis in order to accommodate renovations and deferred maintenance in a number of our old buildings, including Lincoln Hall. We're worried that the language should be a little more explicit that short-term leases are not going to be impacted by this. And I think it would be helpful if the word controlled is used in here, buildings that we control. I think we would like to see a little more clarity on what that means to make sure that buildings that we're leasing partial space in won't be impacted as well. I understand there might be some more changes that are suggested on the Senate side. If there are, we're going to get these into the mix over there. I just didn't want anyone to be off guard, caught off guard.
Great, thank you. Appreciate it. Any questions for Jesse?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jeff Bissonette, representing the Fair and Clean Energy Coalition. Part of our coalition is the Northwest Energy Efficiency Council, which is the trade association of energy efficiency contractors and service providers. Just wanted to testify that we are in support of the dash threes. We acknowledge some of the concerns that Jesse Cornett has raised from PSU. We think that the intention of the Department of Energy and PSU are pretty well aligned, and so if we need to do some clarification, as a longtime proponent of the bill, we're certainly willing to continue to work on that. On some of the issues raised in the dash fours that are before you, again, it was sort of new on our radar screen this morning. I think there are probably ways that we can figure out the issues that are being that are trying to be addressed, and we're committed also to working on those on the Senate side as well. But overall, we support the bill, we support the dash threes, and urge you to pass the bill after the board to do pass amendment. Thanks. I can, I'm happy to answer questions.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Bissonnette? Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
Sure.
Ms. Roberts. So on the dash fours.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Cindy Robert. I represent the American Institute of Architects, Oregon. We are, along with the engineers, the requesters of the Dash 4s, and let me explain to you briefly why. In the original bill and in your hand and gross bill, under Section 7 in the original, no, in your 8 in the original, 7 in the hand and gross, Section 3, Sub 7, Sub 8, you had an exclusion from A, the activity of A, if you were an architect or engineer. Then in B and C, are you following? Am I speaking too fast? Did you find it?
I didn't see a hand in gross bill.
It would be in the amendments now, then. I'm sorry. When I wrote it, it was in the hand in gross. In your amendments, it would be Section 3, Sub 7, A, B, and C. Yes? That's off the top of my head. So A had an exception for if you were an architect or engineer, you did not have to be pre-qualified for that activity. Activities B and C then required pre-qualification for the ability to propose or bid on a project. What we're looking for is to simply send the architect and engineer exemption from A into B and C. Historically, the state, when an agency is going after qualification, it does not make already licensed by the state professional do that same pre-qualification. And understand that pre-qualification does not mean we automatically get the job. It simply means we've already gone through the rigors of proving our licensure and our background well enough to at least be able to bid or propose on a state project. We just wanted to extend the exception in A to the activities in B and C, hence the amendments, which were fine by all this morning, but have run into some problems of recent because there's concern that, in fact, there are architect and engineer firms who are not qualified to do energy audits. Arguably, I couldn't say that's not true. It's true. Some aren't, and those either A, wouldn't bid or propose, or B, certainly would not be selected by the state agency. Nonetheless, the dash fours, the point was to extend the courtesy that's already extended to your licensed professionals in Oregon. We're willing to work on the Senate side if that's what this committee would like us to do.
Thank you. Any questions? Ms. Roberts. Thank you. We appreciate your willingness to work on this. As you know, we are out of time here in this committee. Okay. Anybody else like to come up and make a comment on the dash threes? Okay. Well, with that, I'll accept a motion.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt dash three amendments stated.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You asked them, but you didn't ask the committee. So.
Okay. Well, we'll have time for discussion.
I can wait.
I move the dash three amendments stated to 1208.
Okay, Representative Cannon moves to adopt the dash three amendments dated 08. So is there any discussion, Representative Wood?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Surprise. Earlier when in another work session, I addressed some wording that I felt very uncomfortable with. That was in section four, subpart two, saying that the director, while I like Mike Green and certainly trust him with my life, what this is saying is the director of the State Department of Energy, as you recall, may take any action. And I asked for a definition of what may take any action was. I noticed that it's still in the bill, and I'm wondering
to ease my conscience in that I'd like to support this bill, but I will not unless I get a definition that satisfies me on the may take any action. I don't even know what that means.
I apologize that we didn't put that to you previously, and we do have Dave Hendricks here from Legislative Council. So, Dave, can you come up and, since you drafted the bill, I want to know. No? Oh, you didn't. And you ended up with this.
Chair Dean Felder, members of the committee, Dave Hendricks from Legislative Council's office. I can talk about this section. Don't ask me about anything else the bill does. This is fairly common language that we do put in bills where we have concern about an operative date when the bill goes into effect, about whether or not everything's going to be in place to allow the bill to go forward. You know, for instance, if we have a licensing bill that says you have to have a license to do something, whereas before you didn't have to have it, we want to make sure that people are able to have licenses on the operative date and not have a gap where we have some period where things aren't going to happen. In this bill, it appears that the concern may have been the pre-certification. It sounds like a new requirement, don't know for sure, but that's what it looks like. And I think the idea was to make sure the agency could go ahead and adopt rules and get ready to implement the bill on the operative date. And the any action language that we use in this clause is a qualified, it's qualified. It's any action before the effect operative date that is necessary to enable the director to exercise on or after the operative date all duties, functions, powers conferred on the director, da 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 da. So the power really is to take those actions that are necessary to allow them to implement it on the operative date. It's not just you can do anything you want, you know, about anything. It's for a specific purpose.
That address your concern, Mr. Senator?
I'm still rolling it around in my my head. Legalese.
Thank you.
If I had to know Dave, I probably wouldn't take his word, but I would.
There's a lot of things that Legislative Council does that's still an enigma to some of us. Who
you know, the Chair, Dinkel, we never like to say, just trust us. We try not to do that.
We're here to help.
Any other questions or comments on this? I would just like to thank the department who has worked tirelessly in a very short time frame, although this is the second go-round since we worked on this last session, but I think this is a much better bill. I want to appreciate all the hard work that the Department of Energy has put into this, and we're hoping that we'll see the fruits of the labor of this bill, which will mean a good return for the state of Oregon and cost savings, and for the people of Oregon, the taxpayer of Oregon. As we've talked about before, there's a potential for up to $6 million a year savings in energy from passage of this bill and increasing the threshold from 10 to 20% energy savings. So with that, would you want to talk about the fiscal?
You can do it now or do it after that. After you vote on this motion.
Okay, we'll vote on the amendment first. So we have an amendment on the table to adopt the dash threes. Would the clerk call the roll, please?
Representative Fire?
Aye.
Representative Gerard?
Aye.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Vice Chair Burley?
Aye.
Vice Chair Cannon?
Aye.
Chair Dinkfelder?
Aye. Motion carries and the dash three amendments are adopted. And I'll take another motion.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3612 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation of this, and that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded.
Okay, and Beth, do you want to talk a little bit about that? We can have Betty come up as well.
Sure. Unfortunately, the dash three amendments were not ready in time to send them out through the regular process that the fiscal office runs. But having spoken with Betty, and I think Betty has spoken with many of the other agencies, the fiscal that was originally anticipated resulted from the requirement that the agencies prepare plans by 2010. The dash three amendment removes that requirement, and as a result, it is not believed that there will be a fiscal
on the bill.
Thanks. So that's the recommendation that we got. There was a lot of talk about the during testimony we heard about preparation of plans, and there was discussion with the Department of Energy that that could be accomplished without requiring each agency to develop a plan. Do you want to come up and talk about that a little bit, Betty, before we take the final vote?
Again, for the record, Betty Merrill, Oregon Department of Energy. When the bill was first drafted with a requirement for the agencies to develop a plan by 2010, I had a fiscal on the bill for staffing needs to go out, work with those energy, with those agencies, and develop those plans. With the plan being pulled, I won't need to hire staff to go out and work with those agencies to develop the plans because they're currently reporting their energy usage into the database and under existing rules. So without the plan, we'll be working with the agencies in the normal manner in which we work with them. So that's why my fiscal has been removed. The fiscal, when I spoke with Bob Simonton from OUS, he had a fiscal of one FTE with the plan included, and when I spoke with him this morning, he said no, he would take his fiscal off as well.
Okay. Question. Any questions? Yeah.
Representative Smith? Thank you, Madam Chair. Can you share with us, if there's not going to be a fiscal, the need for the 0.2% fee?
Madam Chairman, Representative Smith, the fee has been within the State Energy Efficient Design Program since the inception. There are two portions to the State Energy Efficient Design Program. The first section is for new buildings or major renovations where the agency is, we work with the agency to do a full energy analysis and help them get those energy efficiency measures into the final design documents and construction. The second part of the bill is this, we call it the Conservation Initiative, which was initiated after the energy crisis of 2001. The reason we're trying to recover fees in that section as well is to cover, we establish an hourly rate for our engineering staff, and that fee needs to cover the cost of covering that database, et cetera.
Just to follow up. So then specifically, what's the 2% fee going to be used for? I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
If there is a cost for an agency currently under the State Energy Efficient Design Program, if a state agency is going to build a building or do a renovation, they actually we sign an agreement with them with the fee. So if an agency needs our assistance, they come to us, we do an interagency agreement that establishes this fee in order to reimburse my staff. It's a fee-based program. If you don't use our fee, our services, you aren't paying a fee. In addition, what we do is we use a number of U.S. Department of Energy grants to subsidize staff.
So, follow up. Mm-hmm. I apologize. It's the ways and means of me. So do we have underutilized staff? I don't understand how you're going to be collecting in revenue to compensate staff, but we don't need increased staff. I don't understand.
To the Chair, Representative Smith, no, we don't have underutilized staff. What we have is the building technology section has 14 individuals. It has 19 funding sources, primarily grants, no general fund, and fee-based programs. So those staff, for example, working on the State Energy Efficient Design Program, when they're working on a specific project, we charge their hourly rate to that project. When they're working on a task that may not, that isn't that building project, they would be charging to a USDOE grant.
So just to clarify, so this is a fee-for-service charge that if an agency utilizes your expertise or one of your staff expertise, then they would be assessed a fee. Obviously, if they're not using them, then they're not paying.
So, Madam Chair, I guess I'm wrong on this, but what we're going to do is we're going to increase the ending balance within a fund because we have adequate staff to meet. We've been told we don't need additional staff to meet the needs of this bill, but we're still collecting a fee. So those dollars are going to go towards something, and since we already have adequate revenue to, in our staffing, it's going to go towards the ending balance. I don't want to push it any further. I think we're collecting a fee that's unnecessary. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I'm going to try to respond.
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, we charge a fee based on our services. So when we have, for example, when we have staff working on projects, some of their time, we try to leverage the funding wherever we can. So we may have the ability to charge a cap, but may not actually charge the agency for the time spent on it. We try to leverage the money. We have funding from a fee-based program and funding from USDOE State Energy Program.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay. So there's a motion on the table. All right. Representative Cannon has moved House Bill 3612 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded. Is there any other discussion?
No, thank you, Madam Chair, for letting me ask the question.
Representative Cannon.
Madam Chair, there are a couple of outstanding issues that I hope the Senate will take up. They've just been raised today. I think it's not appropriate for us to delay any further. In fact, we can't delay any further moving on this bill, so we'll support it, but I think it would be worth the Senate's time to investigate whether or not to adopt something like the Dash 4s, as well as the other issue that was raised.
PSU. Thank you, Vice Chair Cannon. I appreciate you bringing that up. I do encourage the folks who brought their concerns up to talk to the Senate side, because we want to make sure those are resolved. Unfortunately, these just came to our attention this morning and late yesterday, so we wish we could have resolved them in a timely manner, but it's something that came up at the very late moment, although this bill has been out there for many weeks, actually. So appreciate if you guys can get together, work with the Senate to make sure this is addressed. Our committee staff will actually brief the Senate committee staff, and anything we can do to work with the Senate side to resolve that, we will be happy to do that. So with that,
Madam Chair,
Representative Gord.
Madam Chair, just a comment that I support the statements made by Representative Cannon and yourself in this regard.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And the clerk will call the roll, please.
Representative Byer?
Aye.
Representative Gerard?
Aye.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hurley?
Aye.
Vice Chair Cannon?
Aye.
Chair Dean Feldman?
Aye. So the motion passes. The bill is sent as amended to the floor, and I will assign Representative Witt as the carrier, since this was his bill, and I've already discussed this with him, and he was very enthusiastic about that. So we have Representative Witt as the carrier, and with that, I'll close the work session on House Bill 3612, and again, thank everybody who's worked really hard on this. Okay, next, moving right along here, we will open up a work session on House Bill 3610. Any motion?
I will make a motion. Madam Chair, I move the adoption of the Dash 9 amendments dated 2/11. 2008, yesterday's version.
Okay. Representative Cannon has moved adoption of the Dash 9 amendments dated 2/11/08 to House Bill 3610. Is there any discussion? Okay. All right. Is there any? Well, we'll have the clerk call the roll.
Representative Byer?
Aye.
Representative Gerard?
No.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
No.
Vice Chair Burley?
No.
Vice Chair Cannon?
Aye.
Chair Dean Felder?
Aye.
That the motion passes. Or, I'm sorry, the amendment is adopted. And we'll take another motion.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3610 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion.
Okay.
I'd like to move to strike and insert that House Bill 3610 as amended be referred to Ways and Means without recommendation.
Okay, so there's another motion on the floor. Motion on the table. Do I have to repeat it or do everyone hear it?
I don't know. Would you like me to repeat it?
Yes.
That we strike and insert the previous motion, that we strike and insert that House Bill 3610 as amended be referred to Ways and Means without recommendation.
Okay.
Madam Chair, so just to clarify then, our vote now would be on whether or not we're accepting or supporting that change.
Correct.
To the Vice Chair's original, to
Correct.
Vice Chair Cannon's original motion.
So instead of with recommendation, without recommendation.
Understood. Thank
okay, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we will vote on the motion that Representative Burley has proposed, and the clerk will call the roll.
Any discussion?
Oh, I'm sorry. Any discussion about that? You
yes.
Probably want to say a few words. Right?
I could say a few words on that. Madam Chair and colleagues, you know, we have worked on this rather extensively, but I absolutely believe that this language, despite all the best efforts to make it look like there's not going to be an impact, will have a fiscal impact. In fact, in our packet that we got here when we convened today, if you'll look at the second page, LFO makes a couple of comments here about, for example, legislative fiscal office is concerned that the future demands placed on state agencies resulting from their participation and involvement with the Oregon Global Warming Commission may continue or increase over time. There's no question that this is going to cost the departments additional money. In fact, also in this fiscal, I'll note that LFO mentions that the state agencies reporting on greenhouse gas emissions, et cetera, can be accomplished by redeploying existing resources. Information was not supplied by agencies on the activities that were funded in their 07-09 legislative adopted budgets that will not get done or will be delayed as a result of this redeployment. So I believe that this needs to go to Ways and Means so that we can get a better look at the fiscal impact of this.
Mm-hmm. Representative Cannon.
Madam Chair, I also support sending it to Ways and Means. I think the question before us now is whether to move it with a recommendation as to its passage, ultimate passage or not. It's my belief that this is an opportunity for us to send a strong signal from this committee that this bill is important, that it's timely, that it's necessary. That's why I support the original motion, and we'll be voting no on the motion to send it without recommendation. I think that motion, functionally, that Representative Burley has suggested, says to Ways and Means, well, here's a bill that we think may cost some money, look into it, and we don't really support it. I can't support that. I think we'll get perhaps have an opportunity to get more into why I think this bill is so important, and do certainly respect where Representative Burley is coming from with the need for additional analysis on the fiscal impacts of this. I would point out this final paragraph from our fiscal statement from LFO. It says that there will be future demands, is concerned about future demands placed on state agencies resulting from their participation and involvement with the Global Warming Commission over time. I think whether or not we pass this bill, Global Warming Commission will be asking agencies for some options and recommendations, and that it seems to me that statement's true whether or not House Bill 3610 becomes law.
Okay. Any other comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is why I love this community.
Never a dull moment.
No. And being able to participate on this bill from the beginning of its life, I will say I found it very interesting. I was concerned at the very beginning about whether it was an overreaching bill, whether this bill was just collecting data we already had access to. Did we need this bill? I have been watching the bill very closely and trying to talk with people about the bill. And I do understand there's some concerns out there, but I will say, I know there's a lot of information out there already we could use, but maybe there's a point where we could there's a few pieces that we might need this bill for. I don't really see this bill as onerous as some people in this room do. I don't see the sky falling. I just, it's been hard for me because I also know that there are some political issues that are coming along with this bill that we have to juggle. This is a special session, and respecting the fact that we didn't want controversy in the session, we didn't, you know, we wanted bills that needed to be done that didn't have a lot of controversy. That's made this a very hard process on this bill. And I understand everybody's concerns, but I really do not see this bill as being an overreaching bill and a big issue. The chair has gone out of her way to address a lot of the concerns of people on this bill, and I think I'm going to, hard as it is, I think I'm going to vote no on this measure.
Thank you. Any other comments? Representative Smith, or at least this motion. Sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think the notion of supporting our environment and enhancing air quality is very important. I'm worried, though, that last session, I'm concerned about this bill as a result of action we took last session. Many of us supported the Oregon Global Warming Commission, and I'm worried that we're going to be undermining their effort as a result of this bill's passage, and therefore I'll be voting no. I'll be voting yes on the proposed amendment, but no on the bill itself.
Okay. Anybody else? All right. The clerk will call the roll on the current motion, which is to refer the amended, the dash 9 amendments with the bill to Ways and Means without recommendation. What's the current motion?
Representative Flyer?
No.
Representative Gerard?
Aye.
Representative Reed?
No.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Vice Chair Burley?
Yes.
Vice Chair Cannon?
No.
Chair Dingfeld?
No. Motion fails. And we have another motion on the table. Representative Cannon, why don't you repeat your motion?
Sure. My motion is to move House Bill 3610 as amended by the dash 9s to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Okay. So Representative Cannon, whose House Bill 3610 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Representative Burley.
I want to, first of all, commend you for your efforts to try and craft a bill that had broad and bipartisan support, but unfortunately we just weren't quite able to get the yes on this, and I think there's quite a few reasons, many of which we heard yesterday during the testimony. This climate change issue is far, far, far more complex than the renewable portfolio standard, Senate Bill 838, that we had last session, and that bill had months and months of work and hours of hearings. And here we've got this bill that is far more complex, and we've tried to do it in 6 weeks, perhaps. The LC-70 had two hearings in January. We never saw the bill until this month. It's had a hearing, two hearings. We had some conference calls on it. But in my opinion, something of this magnitude simply has not been vetted properly. In addition, as we heard yesterday also during the testimony, there's three ongoing and concurrent efforts that address climate change here in Oregon. One is the Oregon Global Warming Commission, which was set up by House Bill 3543 that I and others, probably I think all of us at this dais, probably voted for last session. Two, we've got DEQ's Greenhouse Gas Reporting Advisory Committee, and three, we've got the Western Climate Initiative. Now, 3543 directs the commission to do, and this was in the testimony yesterday, but one of which is to come up with some recommendations on statutory and policy measures. And yet the governor never appointed the commission until January 24th. So not only have they not met and come up with any recommendations, but here we are trying to deal with this issue, and we don't know what they want. We don't know what the Western Climate Initiative is going to come out with, and the DEQ's rulemaking process hasn't been completed yet either. The only thing that concerns me, again, with this timing is that even though these other venues, which are doing a very good job of vetting this issue, this is a policy issue because what's going to happen in January, and I said this before, in January of 2009 is when the Western Climate Initiative is finished. That proposal is going to come back to this body to be enacted. And I think we can be proactive and be having that broader discussion about, do we want to look at cap and trades? Do we want to look at a carbon tax? Are there other options out there to deal with this problem? And what are the pros and cons of them? But we're not having that discussion. So I think there's many variables with this that need to be explored before we start imposing mandates that could very easily lead to increased costs. And I think an excellent example in this bill is, why are we requiring electric co-ops to report their emissions when we know they're not emitting? So why even make them jump through the hoops? So for those reasons, I'm not going to support this bill. I think that though it's well-intended, the timing and the opportunity to really try and get the yes on it just didn't present itself.
Okay. Any other comments? Representative Cannon.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I am supporting this motion, obviously, to move to Ways and Means. I think there is some additional opportunity to refine this bill and get the votes required for ultimate passage on the floor. I did want to try to address briefly several of the specific objections we've heard over the last couple of weeks, including some of what Representative Burley just mentioned. And first, this notion that it creates a substantive burden on our state agencies. When we have an amendment which addressed that, we have a fiscal analysis that says essentially that while there may be some ongoing cost to state agencies, that's a cost they'll incur through their participation with the Global Warming Commission as it is. A second an objection we've heard is that it creates an additional burden on the customer and utilities. Appreciate the help that we received from other munis, PUDs, to try to minimize that reporting burden. We found language that works for them in order to really make sure that this won't significantly impact their work. And finally, and I think most substantively, this idea that we're somehow the timing here is off. And I, you know, respectfully disagree with the representative from Bend. I mean, we had our Global Warming Commission chair testify yesterday that this data is in fact essential to the work of the commission, that in order for the legislature, the commission and the legislature to make an informed choice in 2009, we need to know where our emissions are coming from. This is a global warming clearly is an issue where I don't think we can afford to wait. I'm concerned, frankly, that we're going to hear many of the same people who are opposing this bill now on the basis of the timing's wrong for reporting. I'm concerned that we're going to hear them a year from now saying, well, we don't have the information, therefore, how can we make a decision? This is a reporting bill. I think it's a relatively simple bill, and I think the time is right to do it now. So urge folks' support for this, and hope very much that if it gets to Ways and Means via this committee's action, that that committee will take it up and move it on to the floor.
Okay, any other comments?
I would just like to add, before the clerk calls the roll in the motion, that first of all, I want to thank everybody in this room who has worked very hard over the past several months on the crafting of this bill. I feel that we have a good bill in front of us. In yesterday's testimony, we heard a lot of folks come and say why this bill actually was not onerous, and actually by putting sideboards in the bill for reporting, that would help their industry, give them guidance, and be consistent with what other states are doing. Committee members, I'm sure you're aware that both the states of Washington and California are going through very similar processes right now. And certainly our intent was to be consistent with what other states are doing and to try not to provide onerous or burdensome reporting on industry or emitters or anybody that would be subject to reporting for greenhouse gas emissions. I know that DEQ, which has broad existing authority to collect that information now. We'll continue to do that. With or without this bill, there'll be pieces that are missing without this bill. So, unfortunately, I don't believe we'll have a full picture if this bill doesn't go forward. As Vice Chair Burley had mentioned about the timing, I too would have to disagree, agree to disagree on that one, in that I think in 2009, which is the next time we'll be together, that we will be asked to make some very important decisions. And my concern is that we will not have the full suite of information in order to make a decision based on the fact that we won't have all the reporting information that we need. We won't have all the agency recommendations if this bill doesn't go forward. So the concerns that I have is that we're going to be asked in 2009 to make some really tough decisions. And I have a science background. I like to have all the facts and data before I make a decision. And so that is the intent of this bill. It's not to place an undue burden. It's not to put the cart before the horse. If anything, it's to make sure that we have the information available to us to make an important decision. I think that is something that everybody in this room wants. I actually thought the testimony yesterday was very interesting because we did hear that it's consistent with the Global Warming Commission, the direction that they're going. That's one of the reasons I wanted the chair of the Global Warming Commission here, and I've been working very closely with him to make sure we're not going to undermine the work of the Global Warming Commission. So anyway, with that, I certainly hope that the bill will continue to move forward because I think that there's some real benefits to the Oregon legislature for us having this information in front of us before we make a decision in 09. With that, I will ask the clerk to call the roll. Motion on the table to refer House Bill 3610 as amended to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Can you call the roll?
Representative Meyer? Representative
Gerard? No.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
No.
Vice Chair Burley?
No.
Vice Chair Cannon?
Aye.
Chair Dingfelder?
Aye. The motion passes and the bill is sent as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means. And with that, I know you're really disappointed. So we'll close the work session on House Bill 3610. Committee, we have completed the work that we have in front of us at this time, on time, within budget. And we will be meeting on Thursday for informational hearings. We are going to hear about the climate. That is one of our...
On Thursday?
Yeah, on Thursday. So there's no committee meeting tomorrow. We will be hearing on Thursday from DEQ, from the Governor's Office on the Klamath, and...
Wastewater treatment and community water system.
So we'll be hearing a lot about water, actually, on Thursday. Very exciting topic for all of us. With that I am going to close the House Energy and Environment Committee.